You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Emery Kettle. And what we talk about is beliefs. Specifically, Emery shares with us a time in her life when she came face to face with a situation that gave her the opportunity to question some very foundational things in her life. So this is a wonderful conversation. I think you're going to love it. For fun, before we jump in, you could, if you wanted to, take a second and think a little bit about some of the things that you believe. And if you've ever had a chance where you could or would or wanted to ask yourself, hey, why do I believe this? All right, it's time, you guys. Let's do this. Emery Kettle, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
Hell yeah.
Emery's excited. I start all of my conversations by asking you, what part of the world are you in?
I am in Vienna, Austria, but as you can hear, I am originally from the United States.
All right. I love that. I love that. All right. So
I love it too.
I've never been to Vienna.
It's gorgeous.
It's on my list of places that I would like to do. And so I am jealous. All right. Next warm-up question. What is your favorite way, or a good way, or a constant way, or just a way that you transition from busy time to downtime?
It's not going to be an exciting answer. I just kind of do a flop. I just go to my couch and I just like flop and I get into my little like nook in there and I do the horrible thing that you're not supposed to do, but it feels so gosh darn good. And I play a game on my phone while I'm watching TV.
You know, I'm not sure that the people who tell us that this is not the thing to do are the people that we need to be listening to. I just really, really am undecided on this. Like, as the one that I do in the morning, I'm a super early riser and I'm always guilty of turning my phone on right away while I like drink my coffee and get ready. And all of the advice is like, don't do it. And I used to feel terrible about it. Now I'm just like, you know what? It's a little bit of doom scrolling, you know, before the start of the day, some cat videos, some international properties I'm not going to ever buy. It's a good, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
But also, like, I don't know, man, we don't have enough evidence that says that for all brains, it's the wrong thing. And I just think that people get to decide, even if it is something destructive and you know it's destructive for you as an individual, if you want to choose that thing, choose that thing.
No, and the people who are sometimes there's a generation or multiple generations between the people who are writing the instructions and the people who are doing the thing. And that's where I'm particularly cautious, that yes, they would have any idea what they're talking about. But when, so I don't know if kids still play Minecraft, but like, so the whole screen time thing,
yes.
Do they? Okay.
Well, they do. Oh, and Roblox.
Roblox
is like
right.
Major right now.
And so one of the things, when one of my kids was super into Minecraft and Pokemon Go and all of these things, one of the engineers in my family, and I was like, oh, I might limit it. And they just sat down and listed all the positive things that come from it. They're like, listen, this is not, you know, this may not be as destructive as you think it is.
Yes.
And then the fast forward, the other version of that is even more modern is, for decades, we had a rule against a particular video game in my house. And I lost this. I knew they were playing it at other people's houses, but I was like, oh, not here. And then it changed we changed the way we pay for and buy video games. And I walked into the kids' room and the older kid was like, hey, how come they get this? And I was like, because I've lost control. They just buy it and it downloads and I no longer have any way to stop this. And I've completely, good for them, you know, like it's like, and so when I hear people like, well, I don't allow it. And I'm like, you are clearly a more organized, better person than I am, because I don't know how to stop it anymore.
That's hilarious.
So just honest, you know, trials from parenting. That's not the topic of the day, Emery. We're off track. Okay, topic of the day. Maybe my favorite intro to a discussion topic ever. We're going to talk about a time when you learned that dinosaurs were real. As an adult, I'm so excited for this conversation. All right. We're not just really talking about dinosaurs, but I am curious to learn what you had been told about dinosaurs before, and then we'll get to why and how that happened.
Amy, if I listeners, could you please just like take a quick selfie and send it in to Amy? Because I want to see your faces right now when you're like, wait, what? I always get such good reactions when I share this story. People are always so surprised, especially over here in Europe, because they are so disconnected from some of the cultural norms in America. Whereas in America, that I can just say that and they'll be like, oh, because of XYZ reason, huh? And I'll say, yep, because of that. But over here, they're like, wait, how does that, like, you're an informed, intelligent person. How did this happen? Okay, so to answer your question directly, what was I told about dinosaurs pre-discovering the full realness of the dinosaurs? I was taught that the average size of a dinosaur was the size of a sheep, and that they were in fact biblically accurate because there are some passages in the Bible that talk about certain beasts, and just that science doesn't have all the answers.
All right. So, I mean, really, if you did not have any background on anything that was real or not, it is wild if you're walking around in 2025 and
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
was like, there used to be a 200-foot, lizard that may have had feathers. Like, I don't know if I would believe it either. But I also would say this, if I had never seen a giraffe and I saw a giraffe for the first time, I'd be like,
Yes.
excuse me, what happened here?
It's no more or less wild than, yes, a hippopotamus.
A hippopotamus. I'm currently obsessed with a hippopotamus, a baby hippopotamus named Mars, who is flooding my social media. It's very, very cute. Very small, only like 10 or 11 pounds at the moment, and just like
Oh,
looks like you
baby.
could. I know you bring him home, keep him in the bathtub, dress him up in little clothes. He's not going to be so charming a couple hundred pounds more, but
If not friend, why friend shaped?
exactly, precisely,
Yes.
precisely. Okay, so one of the things that I think is super interesting about this though in the story is that this story starts when you're 29 years old. Like, so you're an adult when you go
Oh,
through
yeah.
this awareness. Where were you living when you were 29? Were you already in Austria?
I had just gotten to Austria. I moved here in 2014 when I was still 28. And this would have been around late spring, early summer of 2015.
2015. All right, very, very cool. Okay, so some people are probably wondering what exactly is going on. Other people will have guessed some of the backstory of what happened. Do you want to share with us what is the like general denomination classification fellowship of the organization that you were raised in?
So I, as it is in America, there's so many churches, and some are non-denominational, some are Baptist, some are Assemblies of God, some are this, some are that. And they all have infighting. And so I was raised going to many different types of churches. Yeah, so it's not like I went to one church my entire life. Like the church that I went to when I was very little, split apart very dramatically, and like half the church followed one pastor and half followed the other pastor. And we followed the one pastor, and he started his new church, and then we were there for many years. And then tumultuous life events, find another church, more tumultuous life events, find another church, rinse, repeat.
All right. So that's really interesting. And so let's talk about like this sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is something that was part of your family life and your growing up scenario that was doing that. And so as we talk about this, I just want to clarify, like when I ask about these things, there's never any judgment or evaluation or value grading in my questions. But I am just super curious, right? Because
Yeah.
families come in all kinds of assortments and flavors and all of these things. And I am not the person who is in charge of saying good, bad, or anyway. So, but tell it, let's start with this. Did you grow up in a big city or a small town?
Medium, and both.
So did you move around some?
We moved around quite a bit. I do want to go back though and actually clarify that my family was not as religious as I became.
How
They opened the,
interesting.
yeah, so really it was actually more about the perfect storm of me being in a home that was medium religious, let's say. And then me not having the kind of parent slash adult attention that I really needed to be thriving or even surviving in the household that I was in.
Okay.
But where I got that was at church.
Well, that, that jibes with some of the things that come out in research. Like not for like, it's
Absolutely.
like if you don't have, if you're missing something, you don't have it, you will look for it in an outside
Yes,
organization, whether that's
100%.
a sports team or a faith-based organization or
Yep.
a legging selling multi-level sales company.
Yes, spot on.
And so that's some of the, I mean, and I'm not the expert on it, but that's the way I sort of understand. All right, so you describe your family growing up as a medium religion family. Let's talk about a little bit about what that means. So you were affiliated as a family, you were attending
We
church,
went to
worship service.
church. Yeah, so I'm the youngest of all the kids, and I'm the only product of my parents' marriage. So both of
Okay.
my parents were married previously, had children in their previous marriages, then they got married and had me. So I was the youngest by 8 years.
Okay.
So by the time that I was, walking and talking and doing cool stuff, my older siblings were having a completely different life.
Yeah, college and preschool all at the same time.
Exactly. That's exactly what was happening. So I did not grow up with the same parents that my siblings knew. I got a completely different versions of those parents. So there was parallel things happening, but they really didn't often intersect.
Yep.
So my while my older sister and brother, who were we all lived in the same home for several years, they sometimes, well, my brother never went to church. My sister did sometimes go, but it was more like, okay, fine, I'll do this thing because my family wants me to do this thing. And, whereas I was going to Sunday school and was told, and I remember the day that I asked Jesus to come live in my heart. I was 4 years old and terrified of going to hell. And I loved this idea of this guy who loved me so much that he was never, ever, ever going to leave me. And he thought I was just like the bee's knees. I was like, yeah, one of those, please.
Yep.
Because I'm not getting that anywhere else. I would love to have this little happy dude in my heart loving me all the time. That sounds great.
It is a fantastic concept, and I'm omniscient
Yep.
being that loves you unforgivingly, unflinchingly. And then and having grown up in a religion that absolutely sells the idea of purgatory and hell, it's a big it did not sound like fun to me either as a child, gotta say. I was like, let's avoid that.
Yeah. And so, what's happening in Sunday school can also be very different than what's happening in the home.
Yeah.
They're doing intentional teaching in that Sunday school classroom, and what your parents are taking away from their sermon and what they're willing to apply in their own lives might be very different than what you're getting as a child. And that was certainly the case for me. So my parents were religious. They grew up with their own religions. My dad grew up very Catholic. And then that was, I don't know if this is true, but in my eyes, that was kind of his rebellion, was walking away from Catholicism and going to Christianity, where the emphasis was on having a relationship with God rather than having a transaction with God.
It is at, like, so I was raised in a Catholic church, and the first time, so like it's like so th there's comedians who make this point so much better than me, and they do it's such a good job, but it's like it is such a bizarre thing the first time as a Catholic that you like run into a Christian, and you're like, what do you mean you talk to God? I'm not
Yeah.
allowed. There's all these people in between. I have to like make an appointment with the the guardian angel who will maybe bump it up, you know?
You just like go over your boss's head.
Right. I'm like, no one told me this was an option.
Yeah,
So
it's radical. It's like truly radical. So you know, when you're in it, you're like, wow, I'm doing this radical thing. And I'm just gonna let my little light shine. So I was doing all of these things that was, you know, my teachers liked me. I was a good little Christian. I was following the rules. I was fitting perfectly into my little box. So good job, little Emery.
No, that's so you're how old are you when this you're describing this? Like, so you're the so there's an age gap of 8. How many older siblings do you have?
In total, I have three.
Okay, so 3 half siblings that are older.
Yes,
And
yes.
in your house, I'm sure they're just siblings, but like to the genealogy, like you share one parent.
Oh,
And
yeah, exactly.
and then one, you're the only. You're
Yep.
the so one baby. All right. So were your so your that happens in every family, even if you have all the same parents. Like the oldest kids and the youngest kids have different experiences. It's a
Yes,
constant thing in
totally.
in this. But all right, so your parents are affiliated with church, they're going to school, they're going to church, but you're not all having the same experience is what's happening.
No,
Is what's happening.
no, no.
And then there's no conversation, I'm guessing, when you get home. There's no like review and conversation about, you know, this is our family view of what happened today in chapel.
Correct. My family was in constant crisis. So the
Okay.
conversations were never around our feelings and our faith. It was about, are we scared today of this person in our home? Are we not scared today? Or, you know, this person's having a bad attitude and it's harming everybody. And so my parents' marriage was incredibly toxic. And, you know, if you ask either one of them, they'll say it was about the other person. But as the person who watched them and a person who is mental health specialized now, I can look at each of them and know their backgrounds and go, well, but babes, it was just that the two of you were really toxic together. Like, you had no business being married to each other. That was a terrible decision.
The time, okay, so this is really interesting. So we're gonna lump your childhood into the category of instable. Unstable.
Very,
And so you did,
very.
instead of having a safe space, secure, and you know, those things, you had
Yep.
uncertainty and volatility and whatever else
Yes.
was going on.
But
And
church
the, yeah.
every Sunday without fail, with the people who were there, who were really concerned about that relationship with God. So
Yes.
if my relationship with God was good, my relationship to those people was great. They
Okay.
wanted to hear all about that.
And did you go to school? Did you go to outside school? Like was it
I went
affiliated
to
with the
public,
church? Public
nope, I went
school.
to public school. I begged my mom to let me go to Christian school because
They did
I
not
didn't.
cover dinosaurs in the science lab in your elementary school, apparently. Or did you
No.
discount it?
I don't remember ever learning about dinosaurs when I was little. And
Okay.
I don't remember it ever being covered in high school either, because I remember specifically my
May not, yeah.
biology teacher, like my science teacher, who was supposed to cover evolution, did so in less than one class. Like, he literally was like, so this is one theory. And I knew he was a Christian because he was like the Bible club advisor.
Okay.
And I went and I talked to him afterwards, the boldness of a 16-year-old. And I was like, how can you stand up there and talk about evolution when you're a Christian? And he was like, well, this is how I reconcile that. And he walked me through how he does it. And I was like, ugh, I can't believe you. I can't believe you would do that.
All right. So, did you attend when you were living and you were going to school? Was it in the part of the United States that I would sort of lump in as like the Bible Belt?
No, not
Okay.
even close. I'm from Washington State.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right.
I
Unexpected.
know, right?
Unexpected. But
Totally unexpected. And Western Washington on top.
which is the not the part where we
That's
okay.
the blue part.
Yes, no, exactly. And the other side that okay, so I love this. All right, so here's all right, so you have this really safe space that's presented to you in the church. It's not uncommon for kids who grow up in instability, and it's one of the things that we see that they will find a safe space. Maybe it's the neighbor's house, it's a friend group. It's one of the
Right.
things that draws is thought to draw people into even things as destructive as gangs, right? Like
Yes.
people are gonna seek this out. You're finding the stability in church, which is for all the people listening, that is a coping mechanism that was working for you. It's actually a very
Yes.
good thing that you were doing. Like you get a gold star for finding a safe spot.
Thank
So,
you. Little Emery does get that.
yeah, no, because
Absolutely.
we see these things as being, oh, well, why did I do this? Sometimes it's like, no, I think you say, yes, good job
I was
for,
looking out for myself when nobody else was. I
yeah.
was taking care of me with the resources that I had. I did great for me.
Yeah. So now here's, I absolutely understand the whole reality of like when you hear a message that, and it's the only one you get, right? It's the only
Yes.
one you get. That's like normal, right? That's
Oh,
normal.
yeah.
You don't question it. Like you don't question. So then the next question is though, what is what happens, which causes you to begin to question these things that you have held true for yourself, like, and in your life? Do you meet a dinosaur in your adventures? No, because there are none.
I moved across the earth to Austria. I got
Okay.
out of America and it blew my freaking mind. It absolutely blew my mind. And the veil just like slowly lifted until suddenly it was gone.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe I
Well, let's back up a
America's
second. Let's back up a second. What
yeah.
took you? How did you go from Washington to Vienna?
So a friend of mine who I went to high school with, her family's German, moved to Seattle for her father's job. We went to high school together. They all moved back to Europe, landed in Vienna, and she had had a baby. She had her first child, who I talk about all the time on my podcast as well. So any listeners from my side listening to this, I'm talking about Leopold. And so when Leopold was a baby, my friend wrote me and was like, "You should come be our nanny." Ha ha ha. And I was like, "Oh wow, what a dream." Ha ha ha. Like as if. And then 2 years go by and she writes me and she's like, "Okay, but actually he's having
Please
all kinds
come.
of pro Yeah, he's having all these problems. I don't know what's going on. I'm losing my mind. I can't get support for my child. He's like not eating. He's,
Oh.
having these meltdowns and spoiler, he's autistic."
Okay.
And by then I had gotten my degree and had a few years experience under my belt. My degree is in early childhood development. So this is something that I knew a fair bit about by now. And so it's like, yeah, let me come out there for the summer and see if I can help. So I came out for the summer and I was like, oh man, I gotta be with this little dude. I gotta be here. So I did. I packed up my stuff and I came out here when Leopold was almost 3 and the little one was just born 2 days old. And I moved in with this family and I supported them full time. And we did what we needed to do for Leopold.
All right. So at this point, you've gone to school, you've got a degree in early childhood education,
Development.
development.
Yeah.
And so you're like an adult. Are you still going to church every Sunday at that point?
No, I stopped going to church regularly just shy of moving away.
Okay.
I knew I felt that I wanted to leave the church that I was in. There was something about it that felt almost like it was holding me back, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And so I just stopped going, and I was like, no, I feel good about not going anymore. I would like to find somewhere else to go, but I don't know what that looks like. So I tried a couple places, but just nothing really landed with me. I wasn't finding what I wanted to find. But I went to a few places and met some neat people. And that was right about when me and my friend started talking about me moving. And so then I was like, well, I don't want to go get stuck in someplace when I'm going to go move. I'll go find something over there.
Yeah, it probably created a little bit of space, like it wasn't holding you where you were. So
Exactly.
it's probably one of the things that allowed you to take. It's like, oh, well, I don't, I'm not tied to this right now, so I
Yep.
can go do that. And that made the space.
Exactly.
All right, so you get on the airplane to Vienna. You are not met at the gate by a brontosaurus, which I don't even think they're called brontosauruses anymore, but which is one of the craziest things about dinosaurs in my life is that, like, I was taught a name for the dinosaurs, and then my stepchildren had different names for some of the dinosaurs, and I was like, how did that happen? And then the next round of kids, still other names for the dinosaurs, and I was like, somebody please explain to me. And then somebody did tell me, they were like, this is why they changed. And I was like, because I can't keep up, and I feel like when something's been dead for millions of years, it should have the same name. Feels like
Amy,
this should
listen,
be.
I maintain Pluto has always been and will always be a planet, and that will never change. They can call it whatever they
Can
want.
call it whatever they want. It's way out there, and I'm probably never going to go see it. So that's very good. So I think that a lot of adults definitely go through a part of an experience where you look back at a piece of your childhood and you realize that it's in a different light. So
Oh,
for some
yeah.
people, this is going back to a classroom that you were in as a kid, and you're like, wow, those are little chairs. Like, I can't even imagine I was in there, right? Or you go to a place that seemed magical and you're like, this is just a gas station. I don't know why I was so, why was I obsessed with this, right? So, but I have never, I
I
don't
was
think.
obsessed with a gas station when I was a kid too. My whole family was. We would like stop there and get little snacks.
Yes, no, that is.
It was the place. It was magical. Oh, what was it called? It had a specific name.
Yeah.
Darn, I
And
can't
then you go
remember, but
back later and you're like, there's nothing special about this. And I don't know what my deal was. Yeah. No,
I
I
can
think
see it in my head though.
there's a place in a mall that we took all of our kids when they were little and they absolutely loved it. And they go back as adults and they're like, why were we obsessed with this? And we're like, I wish I could tell you. Never made any sense to me at the time. I was just trying to get some downtime. But okay, so but I have not actually experienced what the type of sort of veiling and awakening that you went through. So you get to Vienna and you say the veil began to lift, which is one of the ways we talk about becoming aware of something that you haven't been aware of. What was going on that allowed this to sort of begin to shift for you? You have the big change, which is location. You're in a totally different place without any
Focus.
ties. What else was going on that allowed you to see it? And when did that become like the awareness of, oh, indoctrination?
So I would say I still had some connections to some churchy stuff, or at least churchy people, after I moved here. And I remember thinking that I wanted to find some kind of a church over here. And then I realized that there really aren't any. It's either like Catholicism or it's the missionaries who came over here.
Okay.
And that didn't sit right with me, because I was like, I don't, that's uncomfortable. Why would somebody come over here and do that?
Oh, okay.
And
Interesting.
when, if you had asked me at 16 what I was going to be a missionary.
Yeah.
But by now, I had already kind of started to realize, well, these people are just living their lives. Like, what's wrong with that? And I didn't like that it was these Americans feeling entitled to come over here and take over.
Okay.
So I was learning about the predominant beliefs about Americans from Europeans, and it caused me to see not just myself, but my entire country in a new light. And I realized the way that people thought of us. This is in 2014.
Yeah.
So post Bush, during Obama when people were like, yeah, we'll tolerate it.
It's I mean, many people listening will have gone through a similar experience. Like,
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
the United States is a huge country. There are lots of huge countries, but it's you can be really insulated to like that, and it is an
Very.
eye-opening experience to be somewhere where you're surrounded by people who have completely different precepts.
We have two neighbors in the United States of America. We have two neighbors, and that's it. Over here, you throw a rock in any direction and you hit another country. So that was happening. And at the same time, I met my, well, now ex-husband, actually. And I remember I said to him, so we had been dating a few months and things were going really well. And I have to say, like, despite the fact that we are now divorcing, like, there were things that happened in that relationship that were incredibly beautiful and that I will treasure in my heart for the rest of my days. And one of them is I said to him, because I was coming to like this moment where I guess you could call it the crisis of faith. And I was going, what do I really believe anymore? I haven't been to church in like a year and a half by now, but I don't. I still love the idea of being close to God and close to Jesus because that matters to me. But what is the freaking deal? Like, there's something weird. And I said to him, how do you feel about no sex before marriage? And his response was, if that's what you need for your spiritual journey, then I support you. When I tell you that no Christian man has ever said that to me, his response was so beautiful and it caught me so off guard that it made me take a step back and look at it as a spiritual journey, not just a Christian command.
Right,
So,
because he was phrasing it as a choice. He was saying,
yes.
I will make this choice with you, but it is a choice as opposed to doctrine or
Yes.
dogma.
Yes, exactly.
That's interesting.
So I went to a friend of mine who was in her own church, very involved, and I said, "Hey, let's talk about this sex before marriage thing because, I don't want to be like splitting hairs about the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. Like, what's going on?" And she goes, "You know what? I also don't know. Let's go both do our research." So I went and did some research. And she went and did some research, and I read parts of the Bible that I had never looked at before. And by the end of it, I went, this is disgusting. I don't want anything to do with this. I hate this, and I'm furious. And the
That is pain.
dinosaurs still came later. That was just like phase one, was
All
me
right.
realizing that if a woman was essayed, that she could either be purchased by the man who did it and now he owned her and it was fine, or she would be put to death outside the city gates, which was like huge shame, right? A whole, like the worst thing you could do to somebody back then. So, well, not the worst, but you know what I mean.
No, but
And
it's
a historian could listen to this and come up with, eight other examples of things that would be worse, but that's for a woman, that was pretty bad.
right. And these are the things that people fight about. Like, people fight about how these documents are interpreted, where they came from, what they mean, all of those things. But I think what's really interesting about this conversation, and I'm not an expert on this to be sure, but I like read it and read things about it, and I think it's really interesting. It's one of the modern conversations is, where do beliefs come from and how do you change some, how can you change somebody's beliefs or how do beliefs change, right? And one of the ideas is that for individuals, when we have a belief, which is just something that we believe, like when you believe something, you believe it. I like chocolate. I believe that. I'm not spending any time worrying about whether or not it's true, right? So what happens, some of the research says, is that what happens to cause you to change it is that you are confronted by something that forces you to ask the question. And that sounds like
Yes.
that's what it was. You were like, fine, I'll read the Bible that people have been teaching me from and see what it says. And when you did, you were like, I'm not sure I knew this is what was in here.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. So I remember saying very specifically, even if the doctrine is real, even if, Jesus was the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, and me rejecting him means I go to hell. This is so no longer in line with my values that I don't want any part of that, and I don't care.
You joined the I Don't Care Club. You were an early member. You were an early member. All right, for this process, so this starts with the Bible. This is you questioning the, truths that you had been believing since you were young, the community that had been very safe for you as a child and
Yes.
as a teenager. This included the reality of dinosaurs, but it's more. This builds up to you coming to realizations about your values and your basic identity as a person. That's a lot of discovery. That's a lot of discovery. How rapidly did so it starts when you're 29. How rapidly does this transition happen? Does this
It was
transformation?
boom, 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 boom. So from that moment of me saying, oh, screw this, I don't want any part of this, it was months. It was a matter of months that I figured out I am not straight. No way, no how. I am not a cis woman. I am, in fact, non-binary. As my microphone was lit up with the non-binary colors, that was great timing. So figuring out my sexual identity, my gender identity. I started dabbling in the idea of non-binariness. That didn't come until later that I really figured it out. But just starting to figure out that it was even a thing that existed, that
Right.
queerness existed and was okay and was safe and was celebrated even in some places.
Yeah.
So all of this learning was just trickling constantly. So is it time? Should I share the day I figured out dinosaurs were real?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I was sitting on bed. So by now my ex-husband and I were living together as partners, not yet married. And we were sitting on in the bed, and I was scrolling through Facebook back when Facebook was still cool. And so, only a few years ago, but here we are. And somebody had posted a meme that was like, if you think that penguins waddled up from the Arctic to the Middle East to get on an ark, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was like, you're not using your critical thinking skills very well. And I went, well, nobody ever pointed that to me. What? And it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. And there was one other meme that had like, it was like a chart of a bunch of different religions and the kinds of parallel Jesus stories they had and when they were.
Yeah.
And one of the things that my ex is absolutely incredible at is history and religions and politics. Nobody knows more than this man about these topics. So I looked at him and I was like, hey, have you heard of this religion? And he was like, yeah, sure. Why? What do you want to know? And I was like, do they have like a Jesus story? And he was like, oh, yeah, it's like this and this and this. And we kind of went through it. And I sat back and I went, so it's not real.
Yeah.
And he just kind of went quiet. And I looked at him and I was like, it's not real, is it? And he was like, no, honey, it's not. And I sat there and I went through, do you know the game Plinko
Yeah.
from The Price
Yeah.
is Right?
Where
And you know how they,
the pieces chinkle down through the between the metal barriers and they go ping, 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 ping.
Ping,
That's
ping,
what,
ping,
yeah.
ping, 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 ping. That's exactly what happened in my brain. And it was like all of these different pieces of information started cross-referencing with each other. And if this one is true, then this one isn't true. And if that's
Yeah.
not true, then this other thing isn't true. And if that's not true, then this is true. And I went, dinosaurs are real.
Yeah. And
And he
it's
goes, yeah. And I said,
by we
take me
think
to the
so.
museum right now. And we went to the Museum of Natural History and I sobbed. I cried and I cried and I cried.
So pragmatic question about your childhood. Had you been in a spot where you had seen the fa like where they had, you had gone to a museum and seen the reconstructed fossils of like a big dinosaur or anything, or had it just never happened?
If I did, it was pre-memory.
And you didn't, okay, because I was, because that's like, it's like, well, it's hard for people to sort of, if you've never been through it, it's hard for people to maybe conceptualize, but when you believe something and you just believe it, you're not questioning the other things, it really is true that you just don't take in any information around, like it just doesn't penetrate. And so that's how, you know, it's like, and then if you question it, it opens the gateway, and then you can see it, right? And in the coaching space, they call those limiting beliefs. As long as you hold that belief, it's a limit for what else comes through, right? But there's probably
Yes,
other more
exactly.
academic things. It's one of the, you know, one of the things that can keep people in situations. If I believe this is my only option, then I will not allow myself to hear anything that contradicts that,
Exactly.
right? It doesn't mean that other stuff isn't there.
And
So,
that's why brainwashing is so effective.
yeah. And
It
we do it all the time in small ways because it is, you know, or we probably do like, so there is that kind of thing. And when we talk about something being real, it's a really interesting thing. There are millions of people all around the globe who believe a variety of different things. And when people believe things, it is real to them. And that's why the
Yes.
fights get so serious, right? So it's like one, and
Yes.
I think that the your soon to be ex, your soon to be husband, he sounds like he was pretty good at holding space for this
Yes.
because it's a hard thing to do for a lot of people to acknowledge, you know, like, all right, I'm going to use a totally out of context thing that's not religion to sort of try and de-hot button. It's like, all right, I understand that you feel like, you know, only eating raw food is the very, very best thing, you know, and I'm going to allow that, but I'm going to actually steam my peas because I think they're disgusting raw. You know, like those two things can exist in the same space, but it's hard
Yeah.
sometimes. It's hard,
Yes.
especially in situations where they can be combative.
Yes.
But I wanted to give acknowledgement to the fact that it's like, you know, one person can believe something and it's true to them. It's
Yeah.
absolutely true to them. And another person's like, I do not know why you would ever entertain that. And both of those things can happen in the same time.
Always.
So, all right. So, how did it feel when you were going through this awakening? Like, did it feel like I mean, this is a major amount of questioning. It sounds to me like there's a potential. Did it feel freeing or was it scary as crap?
I felt very betrayed.
Okay.
It was incredibly freeing because it was like the world was suddenly my oyster and I got to find myself and I felt like I was getting a second chance at life. But I felt so betrayed because now looking back at the way that I had been treated over the years, and there's so much nuance here, and I do want to say that I do not believe that everybody who is in a position of leadership in a church is there because they're trying to scam somebody. I think that there are some doing that, you know, your Joel Osteens and the like. But for the most part, when you're in a small church environment, the people who are there are very, very earnest.
Yeah.
And I still believe with all my heart that they were doing everything they were doing with that earnest. And I'm furious that they were given the power over me to cause this harm.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a marketer whose name is Seth Godin. He wrote a book. I think it's called like the All Marketers Are Liars is the name of the book he wrote. And in
Ooh.
it he talks about he raises a thing. He's like, if you believe something is true and you're telling somebody else, you don't in your mind you're not lying. Right? Like so it's
Yes,
true for you. And so
exactly.
there is the chance, you know, for people like you're saying, there are scammers are a real thing. Like that's definitely a thing that exists in humanity. But there are also people who are out there dispelling their version of the gospel, and whatever it might be because they're true believers. And
Yeah.
that's, you know, that's there. But you were looking back as an adult and thinking, I was a child, and I wish what
Yes.
I needed was a different kind of result. Okay, so A lot changes for you. A lot changes you very, very fast. We've talked about some things that you've gained. You live in a new country. You've gone through self-discovery and exploration and growth. But as a part of that, did you have to give up some things? Are there some things that you maybe lost, like relationships and community and
So many. So at the same time that all of this was happening, I was experiencing an entire social awakening and a social justice awakening. I started learning about queerness now that I was one. Had always been one and didn't know it, you know. And then it's so funny because you have all these, and every queer person has their stories of, you know, oh, I should have known the signs were really there.
you can't know what you don't know until you know it. Like that's it.
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. So I'm reliving all of that. I'm learning about systemic racism for the first time. I'm learning about homophobia and sexism and misogyny. I'm learning all of these systems that I had already experienced but couldn't name, or had experienced but Christianity taught me, well, they just need Jesus in their life, or this is just a test. You know,
Yep.
things that Christianity had an answer for, but were in fact just real systems existing in the world that I was moving through and brushing up against or participating in
Yeah.
and not even knowing it.
Yeah.
So as I'm figuring this out, obviously that pendulum is swinging real hard. And now I'm pissed. Now I have this like righteous anger that I
Like,
had been complicit in white supremacist colonization religion. Like I was livid and I was so angry, and how dare these people be part of this? And I figured it out, so why can't they?
right,
And you know,
you're the new, like, you're the new vegetarian in the room.
exactly. And that lasted for like a good 2 years, but it was a necessary part of the growth. You know, I look back on the person I was for those 2 years and I kind of chuckle. And sometimes I really cringe, but it was a necessary part of that growth. I needed the pendulum to swing that hard. I needed to have that hard stop. I needed to get all of that pendulum space away from the systems that had been harming me. So as that pendulum swung, naturally a lot of people got cut out. And you know, again, the age of Facebook, so all of the church elders that were friends with me on Facebook, and I just, you know, I would post something that would be pretty inflammatory, even if I would still agree with it now. You know, things that were just more leftist, and I would post them and be like, hey, why are you okay with this?
Yeah.
And I just unleashed my anger, which is very cathartic. Not maybe not necessarily helpful, but whatever. I'm not here to judge my own journey. Like,
Yeah.
look what I came from. So yeah, a lot of people were lost in the great unfriending of 2017.
Even have a name for the movement. One of the early interviews I did on this show was with a person whose name I'm spacing. I have to go back in, but she like the change that she went through. She actually talked about it. She's like, "This is when I decided not to be the angry vegan." And you know, but and she was still equally as passionate about it. But it was like she was talking. It was like she was like, "I don't have to be this angry about it." But which is a transition. Like she was like, "How could anybody do this?" And it's my place. And then
It
she shifted from that.
takes time. I mean, the cognitive dissonance that I had been living in before figuring all of this out, and then that betrayal of like, you guys were all, it was like the Truman Show. Like, you guys were all freaking lying to me this entire time. Are you kidding me? And now I
Yeah.
have to figure it out in my 30s? How dare you? How
No,
dare you take that away from me?
that is a lot. That is a lot. All right. So I appreciate you being honest with that. Because there is with any big change, there is you gain, but you also sometimes give up. Thanks.
Always. Absolutely.
All right. So in a minute, we're going to do the final questions, even though I could continue to talk to you about the dinosaurs all day long. But I want to give you a chance to talk to people about what you do and who you help and
Yeah.
how you want them to follow up with you after they hear the show.
Heck yeah. So one of the things that I realized coming out of this was the need for me to figure out my own values. And that's been the heart of things for me the whole time, anyways. You know, back when I was a Christian, it was still about values. I cared about people and I wanted to connect to people. It's just that the religion was the path to do that for me because that was the tool, that was the system of tools that I had.
Yeah, and one of the things that organized religion does that I don't think anybody will object with, I think it's just a thing, and everybody agrees on it. They define the values for you. You just like
Oh,
accept.
yes.
You just accept the slate. And so,
Yes.
yeah.
Makes life much easier, actually, if somebody else is like, "We'll just do this thing."
Right.
Okay, well, fine. You've put it all out there for me.
Yep.
I can follow a recipe.
Right.
I can't cook a cake. I can't bake a cake from scratch. So I've been working with kids since I was a teenager in various capacities, and I'm talking various from, you know, being the neighborhood babysitter to learning lesson planning in a preschool to working in a camp for children in the foster care system and having the intensive training that goes with that. So I was already doing all of those things, and I already knew that I wanted to be working with kids and families. But then it took on this new form where I realized I wasn't doing it with that feeling in my heart of I want them to get closer to God eventually, which I never was trying to force anybody to do that in my work anyways, but it was something that I held in my heart. And now I was realizing that there's a lot of families who are not religious at all, which I now very much support. But because they don't have that pre-decided, predetermined value system, it's left quite the vacuum. And especially then when you layer in generational issues, you know, if I'm talking about my own generation, which is millennials, most of us are raised by boomers who we go, well, I don't want to raise my kids that way, but I don't have any. Who's going to teach me the tools to do that? I just know that I don't want to not have space for my kids' emotions. Well, how do you have space for your kids' emotions? Somebody has to teach you how to do that. So I wrote the Defining Your Parenting Values Guide. And in the first part of the guide, I break down for parents, first of all, what is a value? Like, very specifically, what is a value? And how does a value differ from your preferences, your boundaries, and your rules? Because on its face, all of those things are very, very similar and they do intersect constantly, but they are very different things. And once you have the clarity on each of those pieces, when you figure out what your values are, how you want it to show up in your parenting, how you want it to affect your kids, what you want your relationship with your kids to look like tomorrow, in 10 years, in 30 years. Now we're talking about getting all the good stuff. We're talking about, I love to use the situation. Anybody who's been to one of my webinars has heard me say this scenario a million times before. So that when your kids are sick, dinner's about to burn in the oven, Amazon rings the doorbell, and the dogs lose their minds, you already know how you're going to respond. You've run the scenario, you're ready, you know what your priorities are. So in those sticky moments, you're good to go. And that's what I want to give parents. That's, you know, so this guide is one of the many things that I have done, and I have other ways that folks can work with me, but for your listeners, I wanted to share the gift of defined values.
I think that's great. I think that, and you grew up in a blended family. So I think that doing the work of having the conversation, because one of the things that happens at transition points in families and with changes is that it becomes a melting pot of origin stories. And we are I think we are prone to greet situations and think that everybody has the same background that we do, and so therefore they're operating from the same starting point we are, but that's usually not true. And so this is the work of sitting down and saying, what do we believe and what do we want to do?
Yes.
And so it's not, yeah, so I think that's great. I think it's a wonderful thing. Defining your parent values guide, it's normally for sale for €19, which people can do their own conversions wherever they're listening. 50% off for the listeners. Use the code imperfect. There's a link in the show notes, wherever you're listening or watching. And the easiest way to get these links is always to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email list, because then it comes into your email box and you can click on it and you can get all the offers from all the guests all at the same time. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Thank you very much for that very, very generous offer, Emery. I appreciate it.
Thank
Are
you for
you?
helping me spread the values, love.
Are you ready for the final three questions?
I am
Did you
shaking
study?
with anticipation. I couldn't study because I don't, they change. So
They do
I'm a little
change.
nervous, but I'm
I know.
excited. It's a good nervous.
I do. I like people tell me that they get nervous, and I'm like, these are just fun. What's the most recent thing that you took a picture of?
I'm sure it was of my dog. He has
There
the
you go.
fluffiest tail.
Very good. There you go. No, I love it. All right.
Always.
All right. Today in 2025, some super wealthy people are taking very, very short trips into space for fun. If you were offered a free seat on one of these trips, would you go?
Oh, that is a brutal question because. On principle, because of the people who are running those organizations, God no. But who in their right mind would turn down the opportunity to see space? That
There
is
you
bonkers.
go.
So if somebody gives me that coupon, you know what? I'm gonna cash that in.
All right, I love it. I love it. Yes, no, exactly. All right. Now, this one is because you are based in Austria. I feel like this is a required question, and I would be smited if I did not ask it. Have you seen and do you enjoy the old movie, The Sound of
Sound of
Music?
Music. I knew it. Do we have time for a funny little anecdote?
Of course.
Okay, so the first time I saw The Sound of Music was when I was like a very young teenager, like 13, 14, and they were playing it on whatever channel, TNT. So
Yeah.
there were commercials, and it had just gotten to the part where Maria runs away or something, like she leaves the house. And then my mom, who was watching it with me, goes, "All right, well, that's the end of the movie." I'm going, "What? No, Nikki, the end of the movie." I lost my absolute mind. I was so upset and I was like, "No, you must be joking me." And so I kept waiting and watching every single commercial, waiting for it to come back on. And I was so happy when it came back on. And my mother was very pleased with herself for her little prank. I have seen the movie. I did enjoy it. People out here only know about it because of the tourism it brought.
That doesn't surprise me at all, because it was a US movie. That is so funny. The old movies are so much longer than the new movies. And if you watch them with commercials, like the Sound of Music on commercials on like AMC or TNT must have been like 11 hours.
For hours.
That one's very long. Mary Poppins is another very long movie.
Oh,
I
yeah.
remember my kids watching it. I'd be like, oh my God, is this still on? Like, has this what has happened? Like we need to go to soccer practice.
What's the Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the
Gone with
Wind.
the
I haven't
Wind
seen
was
that
it
in a
was
long
another
time.
one.
I haven't seen that in a long time. But yeah, so that is very, very cool. I was the other backup for that question is I could have asked you about the Ricola like guys,
The
but
what?
the cough lozenge people who
Oh,
are
the
up there.
Ricola. Oh, like
Yes.
yodeling in the
Yodeling in
Alps.
the Alps, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would say my hot take on that is that's more like Swiss than
Swiss, yeah.
Austrian,
That's why
but
I didn't do
like, but somebody could definitely tell me I'm wrong. But that's definitely giving much more like Bavarian vibes. More,
Absolutely.
but like even Bavarian isn't Swiss, but whatever, you get it.
Yeah. So absolutely. That's it, Emery Cattle. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Amy, thank you. This was a delight. I can't wait to share this link out to everybody.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.